Hello all and welcome to the Giant Splash. I'm Henry Schulman, the Giants beat reporter for the Chronicle, and today's guest is Farm Director Kyle Haynes. Kyle is back for the second of two podcasts talking about the minor leaguers who will be in Major League spring training with the Giants, which unbelievably is just a few weeks away. In the last podcast, we talked about prospects who are on the 40-man roster, and today we'll talk about the non-roster invitees, a list that was formally announced just last week. And Kyle, I think that one thing we learned after the first year under Farhan Zaidi is that you cannot underestimate or look past anybody that he brings in on a minor league deal as non-roster invite, because you never know who is going to make it onto the big league club at one point or the other during the season. And I think we saw with Yastrzemski last year that there might be a name that comes across the wire, a transaction, and you kind of look at it and you might glance away, but then you really got to pay attention to these, don't you?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I think all of them are guys that we're hoping that do some things like what the Dodgers have done with guys like Max Muncy or Chris Taylor, where maybe some players are overlooked and written off, and you go find a player that can be an impactful player on your major league team, whether it be for 2 weeks or for 2 years. So you're just looking for value anywhere you can get it.
Okay. Well, let's just get right into it. And I just do want to ask you something first before I got into some any names. As we discussed in the last podcast, you are not the ultimate decision maker on who gets invited, who doesn't, who's on the 40-man roster, who's not. But I'm just wondering how much of a say you as the farm director kind of get in which non-roster invitees to bring in, to sign and bring in. I mean, are you consulted on some of these guys just for your opinion based on what you've seen about them in the past?
Yeah, I mean, I feel blessed that, Farhan and Scott Harris, that they value us and they know that some of us work with these guys a lot, and they're always sending out questions and asking us for, what we think. And then we talk about it as a group, and, that's great to feel wanted and that your opinion is needed and valued, whether they take it or not. But just the fact that he considers myself and others like myself for these big decisions is it helps. But because we definitely have thoughts on every guy that we have, especially in our minor leagues, because this is what we live for. So been very fortunate that we get asked some important questions and that we're taken seriously.
Okay, so let's get right into it. And a lot of the non-roster invitees are journeymen. Some of them have been in the major leagues. But there's one name that stands out. He's probably the youngest non-roster invitee that you're bringing in, and that's Sean Shelley. He was the second pick overall in the 2018 draft. I think as people have started to figure out, he's a big fellow. He's 6'11", which would make him tied for the tallest pitcher in the major leagues. Once he makes it, what is it about Sean that stands out about some of the other young prospects that really made you guys want to see him in big league camp this year?
Well, I think the entire pedigree as a guy that he throws strikes, he's got good stuff. Easiest thing to say is he's tall, but even if he was 6'3", I think he'd be a major league pitcher to some degree in his own right. So he throws a hard sinker. He competes really well on the mound. And then he's always pitched well. He's the SEC Pitcher of the Year when he was at the University of Kentucky. He came in, got his feet wet with us, showed a lot of good qualities. And then last year, went and just seemed to get better with every month that he played. And he's learning a lot, and felt like it was a good step for him to go and learn and develop there for a few weeks there in Major League camp before he comes back down to the minor league camp.
Right, and you talk about pitchers wanting to throw north to south. There's a lot of north there. I mean, does that height help a little bit in that sinker? Just from where it comes out of a pitcher's hand at eye level before, as opposed to where it lands?
Yeah, I think it's more unique because it's a higher release point, obviously, and a taller guy for the hitter to look at. So when he throws that sinker, I mean, it's sinking from a higher spot than a shorter guy. So
right,
definitely a unique look to him with his height added. But when you watch him pitch, and for those that have watched him pitch, he doesn't look 6'11 and goofy. He's a really athletic kid, and I think you'd probably look at him out there and not realize how tall he is until you see him just stand next to other people. He moves really well on the mound.
And, you know, people will look at him and think Randy Johnson, but he doesn't throw with Randy Johnson's velocity. Like you said, he's more of a sinker guy. He's not in the upper 90s, is he?
No, he's more 93, yeah. You're going to see 94, maybe even 95 here and there. Maybe better on a good day, but yeah, he's more of a pitcher, command, sinker, and a curveball, whereas Randy was obviously 100 from the left side with a power slider, so less power stuff, but he's definitely not a soft thrower by any means.
Well, good. Maybe we won't have John Kruk running back to the dugout when he stands in against him. Another guy I wanted to ask about, and this is a guy who's been in the organization a while, is Tyler Sear. He's 26 years old, a relief pitcher, and a very promising a kid from Fremont here in the Bay Area, a 10th rounder from 2015, who's had a little bit of an injury problem, but he's had a pretty good bounce-back season last year with Double-A, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He missed all of 2018 pretty much all of 2018 with the elbow injury. That now he's good to go, and it was really nice to see him bounce back, not only the previous form, but maybe better. I think he's much better now than he was even pre-injury, which you don't always see, so... yeah, I think he's on the radar and a guy that we want to see more of, and wouldn't be surprised for him to grab some even more eyeballs than what he has recently.
Okay. The next guy, he was on the 40-man roster. He was taken off, but he agreed to re-sign. His name is Rico Garcia, 25-year-old, and another right-hander, and I have to admit I really don't know very much about him. He did have a couple of big league games with the Rockies. What should fans expect when they see Rico Garcia take the mound in spring training?
Yeah, I mean, he's more of a starter, so I don't know how many games he'll actually get to start. Some of these guys that are kind of starters, the tough part for them is they end up being relievers in Major League camp, so you might not get to see really what he is. But he's more of a starter profile, and I would anticipate him being a starter for us this coming season. More right now, I think we just got to view him as depth piece, and let's see what he's like in person to see, where he fits in. But, once again, I mean, last year, first of all, the Rockies minor league affiliates have the worst hitters environment, pitchers environments ever. Albuquerque, Hartford, yeah. Lancaster, and the Cal League. I mean, these places are really hard to pitch in. And he's done a really nice job pitching in those environments. So he throws a lot of strikes, and usually in those hitters' environments, if you throw a lot of strikes, if you don't have good stuff, you're going to get destroyed. So he's throwing strikes, and he's striking people out, and he's not getting hit hard in some really tough spots for pitchers to pitch. So I think that's one thing to look at when you look at his numbers, where he's doing it. And then from there, I think we're going to see more of a starter and not necessarily a power arm, but a guy that's a starter, and for right now, we're going to see where he fits in compared to the other starting pitchers in the organization in spring training.
Okay. The next one person I wanted to ask you about, I think he also originally came from the Rockies organization. He's 28, and I don't believe he's pitched in the majors. He's the only left-hander in the group of 10 pitchers who are non-roster invitees, Sam Mall. What kind of pitcher is Sam Mall?
Yeah, Sam's developed more of a hard sinker as well. Not quite Zach Britton. I don't want to make those comparisons, but more in that mold of a pitcher instead of a power lefty throwing sliders or anything. But hard sinker. He's a guy that we picked up last year, and he worked hard with some of our pitching coaches and worked on some pitch design stuff on the side early in April. So that's why you didn't see him much pitch early. And they took it into the year and pitched really well for us at the bullpen, mostly in Richmond, just because that's where the roster spots were with our depth, and then a little bit in Sacramento as well. And, we'll see how it goes, but he's a lefty, and he's got good stuff, and he gets people out. So you can never have too many of those guys.
Yeah, 42 strikeouts in 38 and a third innings for Richmond in Double-A. Then even in a brief Triple-A assignment, he struck out 12 in 10 and two-thirds innings, and I have to say also, in six games with Sacramento, he had a 1.69 ERA, which to me is even more impressive than the 2.58 ERA in all the 35 games at Richmond, because, a PCL is basically, it's wiffle ball. So those numbers are what caught my eye. I just have a very few more guys to ask you about. We'll be back with Kyle Haynes, the Giants farm director, right after this. Henry Schulman back with Giants Farm Director Kyle Haynes. We're talking about the non-roster invitees, some of the minor leaguers who will be in Major League spring training. Kyle's been kind enough to talk to us, give us two podcasts worth of insight, and we have a few more guys to ask about. I'm asking you about a lot of pitchers on these non-roster invites because, well, 10 of the 18 that you're bringing in are pitchers. So I have two more pitchers I was hoping to ask about. Rafi Vizcaino, he's a kid that you guys actually signed, I believe, when he was 16 years old, you know, from Latin America. He's 24 now, and he's a reliever. I noticed he threw about 62 innings last year. Was there any injuries involved or anything like that, or was it just that was kind of the organization deciding to sort of limit how much he was going to throw?
Well, you know, he normally threw a lot more because he was starting. Last year we shifted more to the bullpen and just tried to limit him to more shorter stints to see how his stuff would play. Because we had a thought that maybe getting him out of the starter and not having him throw so many innings, the stuff would play up, and it did. He's a power arm. He's got a good breaking ball. He's got really good stuff. You know, he's a plus competitor on the mound. Got a lot of emotion to him. He loves to win. You know, he loves to compete. He loves to win. And he's still fairly young for us. And like you said, we signed him as an amateur out of the international free agent market there. And definitely a true homegrown guy. You know, I managed him and really always just enjoyed all my interactions with him because I love how much he cares. And he's obviously got great stuff. And it was nice to see him have that dominant stretch in San Jose and then, you know, learn some valuable lessons in AA. And we're excited to see if he can take another step forward again this year, just like he did from 18 to 19.
Yeah, 74 strikeouts against 35 walks in 62 and two-thirds innings. We've on purpose not really talked about where guys are going to start, roles and things like that, but about him, do you expect him to come into camp as a reliever again?
Yeah, I would anticipate reliever for him all the way.
Okay. The last pitcher I wanted to ask about was Sam Wolf. He's 28 years old, and the Giants got him in the Matt Moore deal a couple of years ago, and it was a name that was, you know, I mean, kind of raised some hope when the Giants got him. He had a pretty good profile, and then we really haven't heard about him very much. What can you tell us about the kind of pitcher Sam Wolf is and where you see him?
Yeah, Sam is a guy that obviously you mentioned we acquired in the trade, and I think one of the reasons we were able to get him was he was coming off right in the middle of, actually not just coming off, he was in the middle of dealing with an elbow injury. So in a way we traded for a guy who currently couldn't pitch, got him healthy, and then the stuff came back. So we were able to maybe buy low on that trade while he was hurt. And when he came back, the stuff's back. He's just one of those guys that you just don't realize how good he is until you watch him for longer stretches. His stuff's really good. He's got multiple weapons. He's got good off speed combined with mid-90s fastball. He throws a lot of strikes, and once again, you know, he just seems to have a very consistent outing and very reliable. And then just, you know, off the field, obviously, just a standout human being as well. So I always love being around Sam, and everybody's always rooting for him. Not that they aren't the other guys, but Sam very popular in the locker room with the guys. And I think he's going to be a guy that people are going to be pleasantly surprised about.
Yeah, and last year in Richmond, 1.78 ERA in 25 games as well. He is a reliever again, right?
Yes, yeah, all reliever all the way.
Okay. Now, that's it for the pitchers on the non-roster invite side. I wanted to get into a few position players here. There are a couple of catchers that you've brought in. One of them automatically has the best name in the organization right now. I will give him that victory right now. He's a catcher named Chadwick Tromp. People call him Chad. He comes from the Netherland Antilles, and he is fairly young for a non-roster invitee. He's 24 years old, had some shoulder trouble, I believe, with the Reds. I take it that, given that you picked him up, that you feel that maybe there's an upside there when he's healthy, right?
Yeah, just catching is just hard to come by in general, and to find a guy that is still inexperienced that we can mold and, like you said, you know, end up being 25 years old this season at some point and can provide us some offensive value as well. These are the guys you're always looking for. And then to realize with the age and you know, basically the upper level experience that he already has, that it's a nice step piece. And you know, once again, you get him in here and see how he mixes in. But we're from afar, we've always enjoyed watching him play, and you know, for him to be a free agent at a young age is pretty rare. So that was a nice find by the scouting department.
Yeah, he did reach AAA. He was with Louisville last year in the Reds organization. A lot of the younger guys have not reached AAA yet. He hit 286. Again, another guy with a high on-base percentage, 389. And he slugged 610, which is kind of a little eye-opening in 26 games for Louisville. I mean, that league, the International League, is not the Pacific Coast League in terms of the bandbox ballparks. The other catcher that you're bringing in is a non-roster invitee. And again, Joey Bart is coming in as a non-roster invitee. I don't know that we need to really talk about him because, I mean, everybody kind of knows the situation with Joey. But the other one that people don't know about, his name is Tyler Heineman. Very unusual to have a switch-hitting catcher. I'm not sure why. You don't have a lot of switch hitting catchers, but it is unusual. What can you tell us about him?
Yeah, Tyler was originally with Houston for a long time, and then bounced to, for the last couple of years, to a couple different teams, and finally made his big league debut last year. But mostly, he's been at the upper levels of the minor leagues. He's always had good at bats. You're probably not going to see a lot of raw power out of him, I wouldn't anticipate, but you're going to see doubles. You're going to see a guy that's on base a lot and, you know, a dependable player behind the plate who has a chance to really, maybe challenge for, time in San Francisco at some point this year and see where he's at. I know we like him a lot. He actually played for my brother in the Arizona Fall League.
Oh, really?
1 year, about 5 or 6 years ago. Yeah. And I remember him. That's not the reason we signed him by any means, but I just kind of remember seeing him whenever I visited and always kind of liked him personally. And I was really excited that, Farhan and others and Zach Manassian and these guys, was able to, go get him and really like him.
Okay. One last question about the two catchers. This is kind of very important, as we've learned with Buster Posey after watching him for a decade. But, you know, there are some catchers who are really good offensively, maybe not as good on the defensive side. Some are the other way around. It's the rare catcher who is a really good hitter who, provides sort of gold glove quality on defense. Where do Trump and Heineman sort of stand in their defensive profile?
Well, I think we like both defensive profiles, and that's a big part. I mean, it's easy to look up the Baseball Reference or Fangraphs page on their offense, but in general, when we're talking catching, you usually want to start with the defense and then work to the offense next, so to speak. And these are guys that we feel can more than adequately hold their own behind the plate as a major league players for us to even start to consider them. And then the offensive profile is the bonus that separates them from others.
Okay. And then the last player I was hoping to ask you about is an outfielder. And when I look at a non-roster outfielder and see that he's 24 years old, it kind of raises my eyebrows a little bit. Not raises my eyebrows, raises my interest, because this is a definite area of need for the Giants, a right-handed hitting outfielder. And his name is Jamie Westbrook. I believe you got him, he was a minor league free agent, and you signed him to a minor league deal. He was with the Diamondbacks. What can we expect to see from Jamie Westbrook? I imagine we'll see him get some innings in the outfield this spring.
Yeah, I think we're all curious to see that because he was a talented player coming out of high school in the Phoenix area there. That's why he's a minor league free agent so young, because he signed his original contract so young. And he's got good tools. He can run a little bit, not a burner by any means, but he can hold his own with his foot speed. He's got some power. He can hit some doubles. He's done a little bit of everything. I think what you're starting to see is just more well-rounded players when we talk about a lot of these guys. And we're hopeful that, he fits that as well. Just a well-rounded player that can do a little bit of everything and not necessarily lean on one standout skill. But I think we're all looking forward to, now seeing these guys more up close and not necessarily have to look at them, as a member of a different organization and wonder more of the final details about where they fit into our plans. So now to get them in our system and see how they compare to our guys and where they fit in this big, roster construction move.
Okay. Well, listen, you have been very generous with your time doing these two podcasts. I probably kept you longer than I should have, but we really appreciate it. I think that the fans are going to get a lot out of this. So when they do start listening to the games and coming to the games, they'll have a little bit of insight on some of the players that they are seeing. And I just want to thank you again for the time that you took to spend with us.
No problem, Henry. Thanks for having me. Always love talking Giants baseball, that's for sure.
Okay, Kyle. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this Giant Splash podcast. We'll have more in the lead up to spring training and, of course, many podcasts once we get to Scottsdale, Arizona in February.
Giants Double Play is part of the San Francisco Chronicle Podcast Network. Audrey Cooper is editor-in-chief. If you like this show, please subscribe, tell a friend, or give us a review. You can support Giants Double Play and a lot of great journalism with a subscription to the Chronicle. There are print and digital editions. You can find out more at sfchronicle.com/subscribe. If you want to find me on Twitter, I am at Hank Shulman, or you can email me at hshulman@sfchronicle.com.